I want to talk to you today, a sermon title, and if you're taking notes, if the series is The Goodness of God, that's the series that we're on. Joel, make a note of that, because I don't even think I've told you that. The series is The Goodness of God. But today, the sermon title is this: God's Goodness Becoming Your Goodness. God's goodness becoming your goodness. How many would raise your hand and say, how many has God been good to? Okay. Well, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, God's been good to you. He didn't even withhold his son. And the Bible says, in trying to argue that God will not withhold anything from you, he says he hasn't even withhold his son. He's not going to withhold anything from us. He is the one, all good things come from the Father of lights. The reason why all good things come from the Father of lights, because he is so good. And so that's where goodness comes. Jesus said like this: I've come to steal. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Does this make sense? So there's a scripture in the Bible, and it says this. Matter of fact, guys in the back, go ahead and throw that up there. It's Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And it says this: don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? How many have seen that? How many has God been in your craziness, God's been tolerant to you? Come on, somebody. What about somebody over here? Has God been patient? How many has God been patient with you? You know what? Can't you see it? Does this mean nothing to you? Can I tell you what? When God has been so good to us, you know what he wants us to do? He wants to appreciate that goodness. Do you understand? You know, if I buy you a burrito today, amen? How many know? Actually, I just feel so kind today. I'm going to treat everyone today. You know what? Not a burrito. No free burritos today. But free chicken sandwiches today. At Chick-fil-A. Today only. Okay. And I feel so kind. I don't know. I'm just going to be all you can eat. As many chicks as sandwiches. Now, I'm going to get in trouble. I better stop saying that. I heard somewhere, Chick-fil-A is thinking about open on Sunday. So I better, text that real quick and see if they're open, because I could be in big trouble. Tell them, I'll be like, how come nobody bought chicken burritos today? Yeah, because I was spending money on Chick-fil-A over it, because I promised them free. Okay, but if I did that, let's say I did that on a Monday, how many know? And if it was all you can eat, you went without breakfast, you ate four. How many know it might be good for you to come up and say, hey, thank you. Amen. They're closed. Thank you, Jesus. Selected locations. But ours is closed. Amen. Yeah, only at our location. Okay. Thank you. But what I'm saying is, God, here's what God is saying to you. God has been so gracious to you, and he wants you to notice him. He wants you to notice how kind he's been to us. You know what? Doesn't that mean anything to you? Sometimes we can just be so focused on ourselves that we don't even have time to say thank you for his goodness. Remember the 10 guys that were healed of leprosy? And the one guy comes back, and he's just like thanking God. He's praising God that he's healed. He says, he fell on his feet and he cries out to God with thanksgiving. You know, God says, where are the other nine? Don't be a nine, be a one. Be one that appreciates all that goodness to you. Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? We have to recognize that when God brings correction to our life, it's not because he doesn't love us, it's because he does love us. I'm going to talk about today I mean, however the Holy Spirit leads, but very possibly I might, if I have enough time and if the Holy Spirit leads, I might talk about being a beacon of light in a very dark world. And a beacon of light in a dark world doesn't agree with the darkness in the world. The point of being a Christian isn't to be to have the most likes on YouTube. Whatever, I get it all mixed up, whatever it is. Do you have likes on YouTube? Oh, there, see, I shouldn't have act like I didn't know what was going on. That's not the goal. The goal is that you would, here's the goal. The goal is that God's, all his goodness that he gives you would not be just filtered and just kept to yourself, that freely you have received, freely you would give. Here, let me just ask you this. Has somebody in this room been influenced by someone who was good to them when they didn't deserve goodness? Come on. Come on, get your hands up, because everyone has experienced that. I didn't deserve the goodness. I'm not talking about God. That's certainly true about God. I'm talking about a person who gave you goodness. You didn't deserve it. They gave you forgiveness, and you didn't, weren't even asking for forgiveness. You were rude and snotty, and other words I won't use right now. And they didn't treat you like that. When you were unloving, they loved you. When you were unforgiving, they forgave you. That's how God is. And God has done all that to you, for you. Not that you could just walk around in your glory of all God gave you. He gave you that you would express it to someone else. His goodness needs to become your goodness. Does that make sense? I started this the first service, and if you could stretch your hands towards me and pray. Father, help me today to preach whatever you would have me to preach. Help me to not be intimidated, but for my main desire is to please you, to say what you would have me to say. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I want to talk about how God's goodness becomes our goodness. And I already know this is at least a two-part sermon. And as I was preaching the first service, I thought it was probably a three-part. So look at your neighbor and say, here's the good news. We're going to get three of this. Okay, so I want to talk about how God's goodness becomes your goodness. But in order to do that, you've got to understand, and it's my only point that I'm making today, there's only two paths. Amen. My first point is my only point. Guys in the back, go to my first point. There is only two paths. There's only two paths. There's only two kingdoms. Guys in the back, go to my first point. There's only two paths. We must understand there are just how many paths? Two. How many kingdoms? How many ways? No. There's only one way to heaven. How many know there are two ways? Yeah, some of you getting ahead of me, okay? No, there are two paths. There's two ways. There's a way that leads to destruction, and there's a way that leads to eternal life. There are two paths. Amen. And we've got to understand there's just two paths. Because Satan would have us. How many know there is a Satan? See, let me just talk to this group. If you were at almost any major university or any junior college or any place where they're trying to teach and coach and train young people, the professors, almost all of them, not all of them, but almost all of them would proclaim that God is not real. That is a figment of your imagination. That is a fairy tale. That is a lie. That you are uneducated if you believe this fairy tale-ish Jesus walked on water and yada yada. That's what most of them would, almost all of them, and certainly the majority of professors that are teaching in the universities. That's why I tell you, I don't know who's watching at home, that's why I tell your parents, I tell you all parents, pay attention to this. Pay attention to where your kids are going to school. Pay attention to what the school is teaching your kids. And don't push your kids towards schools that are teaching this garbage. I said garbage. It's trash. It's from the pit of hell. It's demonic. Here. The problem with this thinking is it leads you in the wrong direction. Okay. So, Pastor, you don't think that kids could go to college? Here's what I say, parents. You better be prayed up, and it better be the Holy Spirit that is telling your kids to go to college. Did you hear me? Did you hear me at home? I'm not saying you can't tell your kids to go to college. I'm saying that better be the Holy Spirit, not what you were told. Because how many know the colleges and the schools have gotten more perverse and more perverse and more perverse and more perverse? And so that professor is going to coach, teach, and train, and I don't care whether they're teaching biology or physics or English. You know what? Their mindset is, we've got to get any of these Christian kids out of their Christian culture because they believe that that is evil. Satan says good is evil and evil is good. Do you understand that? So, and I don't question, they do have a sincerity of wanting the best for their students. They just don't know what the best for the students is. Does that make sense? So in other words, if you're in my car and I'm going the wrong direction, I'm not like demonic. I'm like, ooh, we're going to go in the wrong direction. No, but I'm lost. I don't know what the right direction is. So if you're in my car, how many know, if I'm going in the wrong direction, how many know where you're going to go? You're going to go in the wrong direction. And so most of them won't even believe in the God. But if they did believe in some kind of spirituality, how many know almost all of them would say, you know what? Tony might believe in Jesus, but Jesus is one way of many ways to get to the Father. Wow. Even if they did believe, how many know they would believe and they believe Tony has a way and you know what, and Ruth has a way and Laura has a way. And these ways, it certainly you were not going to say there's only one way, because Tony's way might be different than Laura's way. And who are you to say that Tony's way is the way? Do you understand? That's their logic. Wow. Well, listen, you can believe whatever you want to believe, professor. But it doesn't change that there is truth. See, nowadays, all truth is relative. How do I feel? It's all about how I feel. It's all about how I feel. But how many know truth isn't relative? Can I tell you this? The only truth that we know is the truth is what God says is the truth. What does that take? It takes somebody very humbly to say that. It takes a humble spirit to say that. You know, how many know you can be over the side, you can run out of gas. You run out of gas, but thank God you went to the grocery store. So you don't have gas, but you have 4 gallons of milk. Praise the Lord. So you're out there pouring the milk into the gas can. Amen. And says, "Oh, I praise God. Thank God I went to the grocery store." Well, listen, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm using that as a understanding. Truth is truth. You can think, "Well, it's liquid and it's, you know what? It energizes me. It's going to energize this Chevy right now." How many know you can think whatever you want. It ain't going to energize the Chevy. Right? Listen, and you can come by, and I'm not going to change what I know is truth because you're putting milk in the gas can. Do you understand? Gas tank. I don't, listen, I can love you, but I don't have to agree with your craziness. Right? Listen, I love you. I'll help you push the car. But when I get home, I'm not putting milk in my tank. Do you understand the difference? Why? Because I'm saying, no, there are things that are true and that there's things that are not true. Let me proclaim the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus. How come nobody gets to the Father through Jesus? Because there's no one who is perfect except Jesus. It's the shedding of his blood. There needed to be an atonement for your sin. Mohammed, he didn't die for your sins. Buddha, he didn't die for your sins. None of them died for your sins. And can I make this point? There is no God but our God. Amen. Like at Halloween, you know what I mean? How many recognize at Halloween when the little nurse comes to your door and the little pirate comes to your door and whatever, and the little vampire, you know, a little dog? Like, I don't open up the door and go, oh my goodness, look, a nurse is at my door. And you know what? And Spider-Man came to my door. I recognize. Silly example, but big truth. These aren't gods. They're just masked like a god. They're false gods. They're not real gods. And none of these prophets that declare to be sons of these gods, their father's not real. They're certainly not real. And certainly none of them have shed their blood for you. Does this make sense? No, but Pastor, you know what? All these professors said that there's all kinds of... It doesn't make any difference. You've got to understand this. The only truth that is truth is God's truth. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, how do we know what God thinks? Because he's revealed it through his word. Amen. Are you learning something? How many paths are there? Two paths. How many ways are there? You'll get this. How many ways to heaven? Okay, listen to the question. How many ways are there? There's two ways. There's a way that leads to destruction, and there was a way that leads to eternal life. Right? Okay? Okay, you'll get this one right. How many gods are there? It's only one God. How many kingdoms are there? Two kingdoms. It's a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. So we need to understand that, because once you understand that, until you get that part, you are going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And if you're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, you will never be able to share the goodness till you know God's goodness. Does that make sense? Listen, if you're confused, what are you going to bring to your friends? Confusion. Amen? Amen? I see Tamara in the back, and I'm thinking of this great example. How many know Tamara has some style? Okay. And how many know sometimes Tamara's hair, she's got some style. In everything, but in her hair, style. And so when she's around her friends, you know what her friends ask her? Hey, who cuts your hair? Amen? How many know nobody has ever, I don't know why. Matter of fact, you're ticking me off right now. You're ticking me off right now. How come nobody asks me, you know what, where I get my hair cut? How come nobody asks me that? What's your problem? Well, how many know? But they ask Tamara all the time. Why? Because, you know what? She's got it, so she's able to give it. Does that make sense? And if you're in this confusion, bewilderment, and you think, and why would we think that? Why would we think this way? What I tell Tamara all the time, propaganda works. Somebody write that down. Propaganda works. So here's what I'm saying. You tell somebody something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, pretty soon, and that those lies have started to creep into the church. This point is a point that needs to be made to a church that doesn't understand this. I'm not saying you don't understand. I'm saying that Barna studies of research said that there is a shocking number of pastors that do not believe that Jesus, I'm talking about evangelical pastors who pastor churches in America, believe that Jesus is one of many ways that people can connect to the Father. That is a wow, is it not? But it needs to be concreted in our minds, and here's why. Because what is Beyonce singing? Do you understand? What is Madonna singing? What is, somebody help me out, what is Terry Swift? Tainer? Tamer? What's her name? I'm messing with her. Taylor Swift, okay. Taylor what? Okay. See, watch this. He's like, oh, you're just trying to bust me. I'm just trying to, can we be real? Okay. I'm not holier than you, but the truth is, I don't know no Taylor Swift songs. Yeah, some of you righteous, me neither. Let's have a revolt against Taylor Swift today. Who hates? No. We're not haters. But you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is there's many Beyonce, Taylor Swift, I don't even know who, you know what? Who's a cool cat rapper right now? Little Nunny? What's his name? Little Mom? What's his name? No, that's his brother. No, what's his name? Little Man? What is he now? Little Ross? Little Nas? Little Nas? Come on, stop messing with me. What's his name? You don't know. What's his name? Do you know? Oh, it is Lil Nas. Lil Nas? Oh my goodness. I don't understand society nowadays, you know? Who's the guy that wears the big clock? I like that guy, man. I like that guy just because, man, it's so, hey, just over the top. That's just so, it's like fun, man. What's that guy's name? Flay LaFlay? Oh, man. Help us, God. Okay. But how many know, you don't have to confess this, how many know, you might know some Taylor Swift songs. You might know some Beyonce songs. You might know, little, whatever his name is, what's his name? How many know that stuff starts to creep into the church, and it's just a little bit at a time, and all of a sudden, or all the YouTubers. All the stuff on, and all of a sudden that starts to creep in, and we don't understand that there is a way that leads to destruction. There's only two kingdoms. Is this making sense to anyone? Turn to Deuteronomy, and look what it says. For this commandment which I command to you today is not too mysterious for you nor too far off. Here's what God's saying. Guys, You can, it's not too hard to understand. We can understand this. It's not too far off. It's not in heaven. You know what? That you should say, who will ascend into heaven and bring it to us? It's not too far from you. That we might hear it and do it. Don't think you can't do what God is asking you to do. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. It's not too far, but the word of God is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. It's right there. Can I tell you what? Most people know what the right thing to do is, because it's not far from them. Are you kidding me? We're not. I mean, thank God that we're growing and God is moving and God is doing. The ministry here is getting larger and we have more of a influence than we ever have. Amen? But right now, you can watch. Right now we have people watching, you know what, from different states. Do you know this? Right now, this ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not too, it's not that beyond you. All you have to do is discoverhope.us and you can watch the word. That word can come into your home. Amen. It's not too far away. God has put it there that you might watch this, that you might start speaking it and believing it and do it. It's not too far. Next verse. Look at this. See? Now, the main thing I won't need you to catch this is that first word, see. God is saying, here, guys, get it? Understand it? You can do this. You got this. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand who I am. You don't understand what lifestyle I came from. You don't understand what lifestyle I'm in. I don't care, and neither does God care. Can I tell you why? Because the blood of Jesus has already been shed. You don't have to think. You say, Pastor, but I'm addicted to pornography. Well, this is the first day of the rest of your life. Amen? But Pastor, I'm into this craziness. I'm into this. This is my problem. Well, it doesn't need to be your problem anymore because it's not too far off for you to get it. Amen. Do you understand? It's right here for you. See, I've said it before you today. And look what God says. Everybody say two ways.
Two ways.
Okay? Look what he said. Not just one way. In front of you isn't just one way. It's two ways. You can choose God or you can choose the kingdom of light or you can choose the kingdom of darkness. But please understand, if you choose the kingdom of darkness, you chose the kingdom of darkness. God didn't choose it for you. I need you to see it. Sometimes we're in our mess and we recognize that we're in our mess because we're in our mess because we've chosen our mess. How many know that's a good thing? Why? Because that's the beginning of getting out of your mess. Amen? Like, I'm jacked up because I made so many, I've ran against God. Instead of running to God, I ran away from God. And you've got to see it that today, God, watch this, in all your confusion, in all your mess, in all your rejection, in all your not willingness to come to God, he says to you and me today, understand this, you still have that choice in front of you. How many ever made some mistakes in your life? How many ever made some big mistakes in your life? I love you. Who cares? Amen? Because let me tell you what. God doesn't care. God doesn't care about the mistakes you made yesterday. He only cares about an unwillingness to be humble to him today and choose him today. His ways are the best ways. Yeah, but I want to do this. I want to do whatever you want. But God won't bless your mess. Somebody write that down. God won't bless your mess. What will he bless? He'll bless a contrite heart, a humility that says, God, I'm sorry for me resisting you. He'll bless that. I've set before you today, watch this, life and good. Notice the two. Watch, connect this. Life and what? Good. What kingdom do you think that comes from? Kingdom of light. Death and what? See how both of these are, there's a kingdom that is full of life and good. There's a kingdom that's full of death and evil. Okay. But watch this next verse. Look at this next verse. Isn't that a beautiful Thank you. 14, but the word is near you. What were we on? 16. Yeah, we were on 16. Go to 16. There we go. That in that I command you today, watch this, to love the Lord your God, watch this, to walk in his ways. Now, let's put this together. He says, you got to see it like this. There's two paths in front of you, but I am going to command you to walk in his ways, in my ways, to keep his commandments, to keep his statutes, to keep his judgments. That's what I'm going to command you. I'm in authority over you. I'm going to command you to do that. How many were rebellious teenagers? Raise your hand. Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. I knew all y'all were. Amen. Get your hands down. I already know. Okay. But watch this. How many of you know that you had authority figures that commanded you to be in at a certain time? Did you come in at that time? Stop smoking so much. Stop smoking the weed, man. Stop smoking the weed. You had somebody commanding you to do that. How many know the truth is the only blessings of God that you're going to walk in, the only commandments of God that you're going to be blessed in is the commandments that you're obedient to. A commandment is a commandment. But you're submitting to his authority is a whole different thing. Do you understand? And I don't hope you connected. The goodness, that good life, is connected to this obedience to love your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you might live and multiply, that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. How many of there's a land that you're not in, that God wants you? And I know, hermeneutically, I know this was written, you know what, before they had walked into the land flowing with milk and honey, he's prophetically telling the Israelites, hey, there's a land that you can go into and you'll be blessed in. But I also know that this is so prophetic that God is saying the same thing to us, that there's a land that we're not in yet, that if we keep his statutes and keep his commandments and, you know what, and keep his ways and keep his judgments, there's a land that we'll go to if we will honor God and say, God, you're smarter than us. And if we will be obedient to keep that, that there's these blessings that you're going to walk into. That your God will bless you in the land which you possess. Please understand that this has got to be connected, that the blessings of God only are equivalent to your willingness to exalt his commandments. Does that make sense? So, you know what? How many are smart enough to recognize? And I know that none of us had perfect parents, but how many know most of our parents were smart enough most of our parents were smart enough. If we would have done what they told us to do, we would have stayed out of a lot of trouble. How many would raise their hands and recognize, you know, how many, it's just like, I mean, my parent was far from perfect, but they still were smarter than I was at 14. And I would have been so smarter to listen to them. How many would raise your hand and recognize you would have been smarter? God is saying the same thing. Guys, understand this is not you. This is not void. You cannot disconnect me from that. Okay, I'm going to share one more thing. Can I share one more thing with you? We are in a place, in a time, that we need to understand you are getting commandments that the world is not getting. Does that make sense? There's a scripture, and it's in the New Testament, and they're talking about a divorce, and about what's okay to divorce, and God's trying to bring truth to them, and so he goes to a Jewish culture that has valued the Old Testament scripture, and he says this, have you not read in the beginning that there was, that God created a male and a female? Did you understand that? Don't you understand that the male and the female were born to marry each other and stay together? Don't you understand that? And watch this. In that culture, all those people understood that. You know why? Because they'd read that. Does that make sense? How many know we live in a culture that if I said, have you not read? Their response is, no, I haven't read that. And then what he does is he quotes the Old Testament. Well, those guys had all read that. How many know we don't live in that kind of culture? We live in a culture that they haven't read this. Here. Let me. Can I go a little deeper? Okay. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, and so we listen. I'll quote that in a minute. But we have leaders that are telling us, including leaders like Beyonce and Taylor Swift and little what's his name and others. And it just becomes part of our culture. We haven't read. We don't know. And then we have leaders, political leaders, who stand up. Please don't say amen to this. And why I need to say please don't say amen to this, because many of you will say amen to this. Not because you're bad people. Not because you're bad people, but you just have been taught not the truth. So there's leaders who will stand up and say, proudly, we need to protect women's reproductive rights. And you're thinking, man, I'm for women. I think we should protect, you know what, women's reproductive rights. But you don't know what he's saying. Because the truth is, many people, they haven't read and they don't understand what Jeremiah says. Here's what Jeremiah says. Hey, Jeremiah. He's a prophet, and God is speaking to him and saying, hey, Jeremiah, understand this, that before, way, way before, I knew who you were, and I formed you in your mother's womb. How many know we have a big celebration? We can celebrate Dustin's birth into the earth. If you don't know who Dustin is, and we're just so blessed. Praise God. We have all kinds of blessings. You know what? And blessing. What's your child's name? Mila. Mila. That's nice. That's nice. Does Mila have a middle name? What's your middle name? Ooh. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like it's got style. Amen. That's what I tell you. It's got style. Amen. After I'll repeat it a couple times and get it. But how many know Delight? What's her name? Her first name? Mila. Okay, I forgot. How many know Mila is here right now? How many know Mila is here right now? Now, Dustin, how many know Dustin has been part of Hope for the last 8.5 months? The fact that he got here, the fact that we're going to see him for the first time, I'm not going to go up to Dustin, hey, Dustin, you know what? Welcome to Hope Community Church, your first time. I'm not going to say that to Dustin. I'm going to say, hey, Dustin, It's nice to see you. That's what I'm going to say to Dustin. Why? Because Jeremiah says, I formed you. Do you know, as soon as the sperm hits the egg, that second, all the DNA is all written for who you are. Amen? What am I saying? I'm saying, and I'll go into it more next week, but I'm saying we live in a culture that is so void of knowing what the truth is that they are so susceptible to non-truth. Does that make sense? And you're sitting right there in the midst of your class, of your job, of your family, and the goodness of God has been given to you. And that goodness has got to come out of you to overflow into them. Is this making sense to anyone? Because the truth, how many have been set free from the truth in this church? How many, here, I am talking about Jesus, but deeper than that. How many knew some things about marriage, but when you started coming here, we started talking about those truths and you stepped into a higher understanding of marriage? Everything. Culture, womenhood, menhood, who you were, every aspect. As you're listening to the word and listening to the word and listening to the word, how many know God's word is good? And that goodness is going into to straighten your crazy thinking out, and it straightens your thinking out, and now all of a sudden you act different. You know why you act different? Because you think different. You got that. That's God's goodness becoming your goodness. Now what do you have to do? Sometimes you have to speak up. In a condemning way? No. In a self-righteous way? No. Notice what Jesus did to the woman who was caught in adultery. Does he say, "Oh, you're an adulteress"? I mean, pick up some rocks. He doesn't do that. You know the first thing he does? He defends her. He protects her. How is he protecting her? When he brings correction to all those guys, he was without sin, cast the first stone. You know what he's bringing? He's bringing protection to her. You know Jesus saved her life that day? We have two camps. This camp over here is don't, you know what? Just love them, love them, love them. Don't bring correction. Just love them, love them. Then the camp over here is like, tell them the truth that set them free. They got to, you know, they got to be corrected. You know, the camp over here says they don't need to know their sin. They know their sin already. Just love them. The camp over here is like, hey, no, bring correction. They need it. Pastor, what camp are you on? I'm right here, man. And pay attention. If I had to lean anyway, I'm going to lean a little over to this side. Because what I see in the Word, I see God doing, Jesus doing both. But here's what I see. With that example, he first brings relationship. He first brings protection. Does he tell her? Go. But stop sinning. Does he tell her that? Does he call adultery a sin? Calls her out on it. We got people there in this camp. Oh, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say anything. Your friends are diving off a cliff and they don't even know that. They're boarding airlines that have no gas, or they only have half a tank and they need a full tank. And you're letting them go on there because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Then on this side, you have no relationship. You have no relationship, but you're going to bring correction. Here's a thought. Jesus went over to Zacchaeus' house first. Do you understand that balance? All right. I got to stop. I'm not out of message. I am out of time. Okay. How many received something from that? Come on. How many received something from that? How many of God is speaking to you in some way? I don't know what he's saying to you. Father, help these people with their hands up. Help us to whatever you have for us to receive. Help us to understand with clarity. There's not eight ways. There's not even three ways. There's only two paths, and there's only one way to get to heaven. It's through Jesus. May we follow his statutes, his commandments, his judgments. May his judgments become our judgments. May his standard become our standard. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.